On today's episode of the Life Beyond Infertility podcast, I'm bringing you a fellow coach, friend, fantasy fanatic, and Penn State fan, Ben Walker. Ben is a former musical theater actor turned life coach for procrastinators. He specializes in finding the root of your procrastination, getting you out of your own way, and building goals and action plans you'll actually do. He has so many amazing nuggets that he dropped in this episode. I guarantee you this is one that you're going to want to re-listen to over and over again. So let's get into it.
You're listening to the Life Beyond Infertility podcast with Charlie Dice, the show that teaches you how to get unstuck from the grief and loss of infertility so that you can accept and embrace a joyful life beyond it.
Welcome back to another episode of the Life Beyond Infertility podcast. I'm excited tonight. I have a fellow coach, and he's also in a mastermind group with me, Ben Walker. He has Built by Ben Fitness, and he also does mindset coaching. So I'm really excited to chat with him tonight. So welcome, Ben.
Hello. Thanks for having me on, Charlie.
For the listeners who may not be familiar, what is a mindset coach? What do you do?
So the best way I can describe it is everyone has that thing they do where it's like, God, why do I keep doing that? Did that thing again. Why do I keep dating the same person? Why do I keep not putting myself out for that promotion? But what I specifically work on is like, why do I keep procrastinating? Why am I doing the dishes when I know there's something really important I should be doing? And what a mindset coach or a life coach or whatever you want to call it does is like, we help you get out of your own way. And we're the person who I like to describe as I pop the hood on your head. And I get in there, we tinker around and see what's actually going on in here. It's really inspiring and rewarding work to do. And it lights me up every time.
That might be a scary place to be inside.
Oh, yeah. It's funny. That's what a lot of people say. And, what I think is good to note in there is that's what everyone is thinking. Is like, oh, you don't want to be in my head. My head is this terrible hall of horrors. Yeah, that's what everyone thinks.
And why do you think we think that?
We get really attached to the parts of us that we're used to. And, whether that is something that serves us or not. And part of that attachment is, oh, but my pain is so painful. And granted, it probably is, but it's not so painful that you're an outlier of all the things that could possibly go haywire in somebody's head. Everyone has something where they go, oh my God, if I could just get rid of this thing in my head, then my whole life would be better. Everyone has it. And whether that comes from, a capital T trauma event, or just parents who didn't play with you when you were a kid, it all affects you pretty much the same way. Everyone has something going on in their head where it's like, oh, this is the deep, dark thing that I don't want anyone to know about. And I think the problem comes when you think that yours is worse than everybody else's. Cause then it's like, oh, I am unfixable. I have this terrible, awful thing. The reality is it's the same as that thing that's in everyone else's head. And, it's the ego that wants to identify with the pain. And as long as we're attached to that, it's going to be really hard to move forward. I have this happen so many times where I'm on a coaching call and someone says oh man, I don't know if you're ready for this. And I'm just like, try me. Come on. I've heard most of it. And guaranteed what they say is right on par for everything else I hear from every one of my clients.
So I'm going to put myself in my listener's shoes. And a lot of what I get asked is, how do I move forward in the context of infertility or a fertility journey? A lot of us just cannot possibly imagine our lives without this family that we always envisioned. So the expectation of what our life was going to look like is different than the reality. And so we just stay stuck in this. It's not even a virtual reality, but it's just a fantasized reality of what we want our lives to look like. If I'm your client and that's what I'm telling you, what do you do to help people kind of get unstuck from something like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing I do in that situation is I'd want to know you know, in the context of infertility, what are you making it mean about you if you've been trying to have kids for so long and for whatever reason, it hasn't worked? Because that's the real crux of it. Yes, you're sad about not being able to have kids, but underneath all of that is you've made it mean something about you, about your like worthiness to be a mother or yeah. something along those lines. That's the first step, is finding, okay, what is the thing that you now believe about yourself because this thing happened? Because that, like, no matter what feel good things you try to do, no matter how anyone says like, oh, just let go and surrender. As long as that belief is there, it's going to color everything else that you see. It's actually, it's a thing in the brain called the reticular activating system, where when you buy a new car and you suddenly see that car everywhere,
mm-hmm.
that's the part of your brain that is, it's looking for patterns. It's looking for confirmation of its beliefs. And it doesn't matter if it's a positive or negative belief. It'll look for confirmation of the things that you believe. So if you're now subconsciously believing, oh, I am not worthy of motherhood, then that is going to fester and influence every single other action that you take. So that's the first step. Honestly, what I do after that is I would say, give that belief a name. I could do an exercise with my clients called the gremlin, which a gremlin is a mischievous sprite that is usually blamed for an unexplained problem or fault. Ah, why do I keep doing that? And give it a name. My gremlin's name is Trevor. And sorry to any Trevors out there, no offense. And write down every single thing that gremlin does. So every single sabotaging, destructive thought that you're having right now, give it to, you know, Sally or Phoebe or whoever your gremlin is. And then read it out loud. And what often happens after reading it out loud a couple times and like trying to read it slowly, and I give my clients a couple other like different ways to read it, you start to develop compassion for that part of you. And ultimately, like at the base level, that's just a really sad little girl who wanted this one thing so much and didn't get it. That's the part of you that you get to then have compassion for and hold the same way you would hold the child that you wanted, is directing all of that love back to that part of you that believes you're not worthy or whatever the belief is. And from there, we can start to reduce the drama around it using breath work and some other techniques to then translate that into something that's going to be empowering. And that's really like one of the first steps in being able to let go of those beliefs.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And I think that's a great exercise that people can put in their back pocket and do it. I encourage all the listeners, just try it and see what you write, see what comes of it, see how that feels for you. And I know, like Ben, even in our Ben Does Mindset calls for us in our coaching container, a lot of us, whether we're looking at it from the context of infertility or even, like you said, procrastinating on doing the dishes because you need to go do something else, we oftentimes feel like we've failed. And so that narrative is always in the back of your mind, like, oh, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I failed again. Like I fell down again. Obviously, that's normal human dialogue that we have in our heads. But how do we break that cycle? I mean, how do we break that internal dialogue?
Yeah, the first step is, I really dove into this, is the etymology of the word failure. And one of the original definitions, I forget the exact Greek word, but it means to trip. So we cast failures as like, oh no, the world is ending. No one's ever going to love me and no one's going to be my friend. I'm going to die alone and poor and sad. But failure means you tripped. If you're a little kid and you just gave up on walking the first time you tripped, where would you be right now? One of the exercises I love to, oh, we could do this right now, Charlie. This will be fun. This is one of the first things this is one of the first things I do with my clients. Actually, the first thing is it's called the one word game. So if I say, what happens if I make a mistake? What's the first thing you think of?
Guilt.
Guilt. Exactly. And most people say something like that. Shame. I ruined it. I messed up. I'm a failure. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to change one word in that sentence. And same thing. I want to know the first thing that comes to mind. What happens when I make a mistake?
And see, I'm even thinking about it. The first word that comes to my mind is I just keep going.
Look at that. We changed the entire meaning of that sentence with one word, which was recognizing you are going to make mistakes. It is inevitable. Imagine two people walking down the street and one's viewing the world through the lens of what happens if, and one is what happens when, and how differently are they going to view the world? And it's really, it goes all the way back to what conditioning you got as a child. If you got a bad grade, was it like, oh, shucks, let me help you study next time? Or was it, you're grounded? I could get on my soapbox about public school.
I know you can't see us, but Ben's like getting all riled up
here. Yeah. Oh, don't get me started on public school. but yeah, we get this belief that failure is some terrible, awful thing. And granted, it hurts. It's frustrating. But the reality is every time you fail, it's going to suck for a bit. You're going to be frustrated, and then you're going to learn from it and you'll get better. That is the only way you do learn. If you never make mistakes, you're never going to learn anything. So it's really that it's walking failure back from this terrible, awful thing to recognizing, oh, I tripped. Ah, let me shake it off and keep walking, because that's what any normal human would do.
And I think one of the things that comes up a lot, at least for women who have experienced infertility in that framework, is we know as humans intrinsically that we are going to fail, but it's something that really, at least in modern education, is not taught. Like, you're never, I talk to so many women and it's like, nobody ever told me that I couldn't get pregnant if I had sex. It was all of just don't have sex because you're going to have a kid and it's going to ruin your life. So that, like you said, whatever was drilled into our heads throughout our adolescence and our childhood really translates into how we think as adults. I guess my point there is, if something, you don't know what you don't know, right? So if you don't know that this trauma is a thing, even, are there ways that you can then work through that if it happens to you that you didn't even know it existed before? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely doable. I think it's rare that someone is able to do that by themselves. I remember I was listening to the singer Jewel. I didn't know of her work before, but she was on Joe Rogan and she was talking about how she basically did this on herself. And I was like, holy shit. That's the first time I've ever heard someone talk about being able to do that work with themselves. Because yeah, it's like the Albert Einstein quote of like, you can't fix a problem using the same tools that created it. You're trying to like sort through this rat's nest in your brain and figure out like what's real, what's not. I guess like a really simple way to do it that you got to be like a real Jedi to be really good at is Byron Katie's The Work, which is essentially when you believe something, you go, okay, is that true? Yes or no? Because there are no maybes when you ask that question. It's either true and 100% of people will agree that it's true, or if one person disagrees, it's not true.
Yeah.
And is at the base level what all of this work is. Oh, you believe you're not worthy to be a mother because you weren't able to get pregnant. Is that 100% true? And if one person can say no to that, then your argument has no leg to stand on. That belief has no leg to stand on. You gotta like really have yourself together to be able to do that unassisted. And I've had tons of times where I get a blind spot pointed out to me by a coach and I'm like, holy crap. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that was there. I prefer that, like to be able to just completely surrender and let someone else guide me through that. Yeah. I love that. I'll just drop right in. Like I was at a retreat recently where one of the facilitators asked, what would be supportive for you in case there was anything that would trigger me? And I was just like, you can just give it to me, like throw salt on the wound. I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. And like surrendering to that feels so good.
How did you get to that place where you were willing to surrender? Like, obviously it, you know, you've had time to work through this within your own life and your own psyche. But like, if someone was just starting that and they were preparing for a retreat like that, and someone was going to ask them that, and they're like, no, I'm strong. I don't want to, nobody's going to break me. Like, I just can take anything. What would you say to that?
Breathe. That's ultimately the thing. When it all comes down to it, If you can breathe low and slow, you can do anything. For whatever reason, I've always noticed that I generally feel safe in my body. That's like my baseline is feelings. There, it is easier for me personally to drop into those states because I don't have like imaginary lions that are coming to get me. Honestly, that's something that's I'm very grateful to my parents for, because the deeper I get into this work, I've seen a lot of the things that I don't have to clear, limiting beliefs that I haven't had to deal with. And I can see the complete through line to that coming from how my parents raised me.
Yeah. So, and you just hit a nerve there, because that's a lot of us that go through infertility. That's the thing. Like, we don't trust our bodies because we can't do the thing that society says that we should do, or if you're religious, the higher being says that a woman should be able to do, or a man, because it affects both sides. But that's like the crux of it. It's like, well, I can't trust my body because obviously it doesn't do what it's supposed to do.
I definitely understand that. And if someone came to me with that, I would ask, so do you not trust yourself to walk? Do you not trust yourself to digest your food? Do you not trust yourself to breathe? Granted, that's a very important part of your body that you want to work the way you want it to work. And it's only one system in your body. And
yeah, I love that. Kind of back it up to the very basics of what do you need to survive as a human being?
Yeah, because even like the basic, like my body's untrustworthy. Is that true? Do you go to sleep reasonably certain you're going to wake up the next day? Sounds like your body's pretty trustworthy to me.
Yeah.
And I used to think about this when there were times when my coaching business was not doing well and it was really frustrated. And I'd let that just affect every other part of my life. And I took a step back and I realized in the pie chart of my life, my business is one very small slice. And I'm crushing it everywhere else. Like, let's pay attention to that as well. I'm recognizing for me that as much as I wasn't making the money I wanted, I was still living in a beautiful place, surrounded by community. I have my health. I get to do my favorite outdoor activities at a moment's notice. I could do all of that. The business just wasn't where I wanted it to be. And it's really easy to focus on the one thing that's out of alignment as opposed to all the other things that are in alignment. I mean, it's cliche to be like, oh, well, focus on what you do have. But that cliche exists for a reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't really serve. Just, oh, that's so cliche. It's like, okay, but it's true.
Right.
That.
Yeah. Cliches by definition are there because they're proven to work.
Yeah. One of the things I do with my clients is I talk to them about a thing called a negation. Which is like, if I say, don't think of a pink elephant, what's the first thing you think of?
A pink elephant.
Right. So if you're focused on the thing that you don't want, that's all you're thinking about you're still thinking about that thing. Mm-hmm. And granted, easier said than done if it's something that is very painful. And that still holds true that the longer you think about it, the worse it's going to get. I actually had a client hit me with this recently. Do you know what rumination means?
Yes. I was an animal science major.
Yes. Chewing on your own vomit.
I want you to explain it. Yeah. Explain it for the listeners just in case.
So cows are called ruminants. And what rumination is, they send the food down to their stomach and then they regurgitate it and chew it up again and then swallow it again and then regurgitate it and chew it up again and swallow it again. So when you're ruminating on something, you're chewing on your own vomit.
Yeah. Scientifically true.
And I mean, that's the thing. Ruminating on anything from like lack of fertility to a business not working to this part of my body's in pain to why doesn't he put the seat down? You're chewing on your own vomit. Yeah. Is that serving you? Probably not.
Yeah. And if you think of it that way, how do you then take your client from that to, okay, let's actually swallow it and move on to the next meal? Or is that how you frame it for them?
Well, I've only just learned this particular thing about rumination, so I haven't figured out exactly how it fits into my coaching practice yet. But what I'd say there is humans not being ruminants, you need to like vomit it out and actually vomit it out. That's whatever emotion is there. It needs to be expressed, whether that's anger, sadness, joy. It doesn't matter what emotion it is, because there's no such thing as a negative emotion. It's simply, it like emotion even means energy in motion.
Mm.
So if it's not being moved, then it festers. I've even had that experience recently where something's happened and I've noticed myself contract and start spiraling, spinning my wheels about whatever. I pick up my ukulele and I play a couple songs. Sometimes they're songs that are related to what I'm experiencing. And after a little while, I go, oh, I'm good. I moved it. But if you just sit there, I'm just angry about this thing, you're perpetuating the cycle because you're not actually letting it come out. That's why it's like the classic, like scream into a pillow or something like that, or punch a pillow. Or it's like crying feels so cathartic. There's a reason it feels good to have a really good cry.
Yeah.
Like your body wants you to do that. Like evolutionarily, there's a reason it feels good.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when we talk about for you in your business, the clients that you work with and stuff, what would you say are like the top three things that people just really come to you for?
The first one is procrastination, where there's some really important needle moving task that they keep putting off. And it's like they sit down to work and then suddenly the dishes need doing. And then, oh, I should really clean my desk because it worked better with a clean workspace. Like, oh, that's done. Yeah, I'm tired. I'm going to take a break and scroll Netflix. Now it's been three, scroll Netflix, Instagram, whatever it is. And now it's been 3 hours and that thing still isn't done. That's the number one thing that I help people with. And honestly, that for the last year, that's pretty much all I've helped people with.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we can do a top one. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's
a big one. That's huge. Yeah.
And that's even the thing with procrastination is often people are procrastinating because they're overwhelmed by all the different things. Like, where do I start? And even in business, I feel like I help procrastinators and I do fitness and I'm a marriage counselor. Like, It's going to be really hard to put enough energy into any one of those things to turn them into a successful business. It's much better to start as one and then expand. And you can apply that to anything involving procrastination.
I'm curious if you work with people that have gone through infertility, because that's something that a lot of us deal with. Like, there is so much chaos in an infertility journey as far as I need to track this. I have this appointment. I need to test this. And then we get so overwhelmed that we just shut down and we don't want to do anything other than maybe scroll TikTok. If I'm that person, how do I get out of that kind of shutdown mode and actually do the thing?
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to my life motto, which is fun is the point. That's the thing is when you're scrolling TikTok, you're trying to have fun and you're essentially drinking Natty Light to try and get drunk, or even worse, if there's something worse. Cause I can imagine in that situation, you're running around all these different things. You're like, it's really serious. You're really focused on all of this. There's no room for you to do the things that make you feel the most alive.
Yeah. 100%.
And then, you know, what is your life at that point? And it's so funny. This happens all the time with my clients early on. I'm like, yeah, so what do you do for fun? I really enjoy my work and I like growth. So I like reading self-help personal growth books. Cause like that, I guess that's fun for me. Like, no, that's not it.
Right.
So even like in that situation, it would be like, what is the smallest thing you can do to bring a little fun, a little delight into your life? And, you know, that's not to bypass the challenges. They're still there, the challenging emotions. But fun is too often seen as frivolous when it is in fact vital to not only human happiness, but human growth and development. I'm a big fan. I recommend books to my clients all the time. Like a big fantasy fan, science fiction.
Yeah. Ben and I could talk fantasy and sci-fi books. Like
whole other podcast.
I'm trying to like see his shelf behind him. And
yeah, we got Wheel of Time right there.
Yeah. Good nice stuff. My Sanderson one's in front of me.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So good. But yeah. Like even something as small as that, as take a moment, take 30 minutes for yourself to read a book that is enjoyable for you to read, or go for a walk in the sun, get your bare feet in the grass and roll around. Because, you know, humans get bogged down with this myth of what an adult is or what being a grown up is. And we lose sight of the little kid in all of us. That kid is always there, always there. And that kid needs to be tended to. And you know, what do all kids want to do? Oh, will you come play with me?
Yeah, I always tell my clients, what did you enjoy before you tried to build your family? Like, what did you like? What did you enjoy? Or what brings you? I always end all my emails like, follow your joy, because it's like you have to have something that makes it all worth it for you.
Exactly. Exactly. And it goes back to what is going to make you feel the most alive.
Yeah.
And I would say too, in that is, if you're at the point where you're going to stop the fertility journey, where are you going to redirect your goals now? And, you know, take that creative energy that you're not going to be able to put into a child and channel that into something else that will bring you joy. It's not going to be the same.
Right.
But the alternative is chewing on your own vomit for the rest of your life.
Yeah. I bet you guys had no idea that when you listen to this episode, we're going to talk about vomit. Like,
I had no idea.
So there's so many nuggets in there and there's so much to unpack that we could talk about. But what you've said is really powerful and I really appreciate it. And I want to kind of pivot as we end here. How did you get into your coaching business? Why did you start that?
Yes, my first profession was musical theater. I was a musical theater actor. I did that. I was doing that since I was 8 years old. That was my baby. My goal was to be on Broadway. And going through the business, I was getting momentum. I joined the union. I had an agent. I was developing relationships with some great theaters. Everything was going really well. I just got hit with this like existential dread of living in New York City and how much I hated it there. And at the same time, I was getting really fed up with the industry. There were a lot of things about the other side of acting, the business side, that I really didn't like. There was a lot of like catty, bitchy, entitled people that I would find myself getting sucked into that energy, and I didn't like who I was. And then I booked a string of work that on paper should have been amazing, but we were still treated poorly and the shows were really uninspiring. Mm. And I thought, this is not why I am here. This is not why I busted my ass pounding the pavement, going to auditions at 5 a.m. to do this crap and then live in this city that I hate. So it was at that time that I was really getting pulled in the coaching direction, initially fitness coaching. And I went all in. I told my agent I was taking a hiatus. I hired a coach to help me with the business aspect. And that eventually grew into, I started mentoring some of his coaches as they went through his program and learned that, oh, there's a much deeper level of impact that I can make here. And this work is way more inspiring than just teaching people how to squat. And that has then evolved piece by piece to the point where I lived out of my car nomadically for 2 years, coaching all over the country. And it's been like a constant evolution of finding like, who am I the best at serving? And what I eventually came to, like how I came to procrastination, was I realized, and this is actually upon joining Matt Shiver's mastermind that we're both in, is there were key things in my business that everyone was like, oh yeah, you got to do this. And I was like, oh, I don't want to spend all that time on Instagram. People are just going to think I'm a sleazy car salesman. Oh, no one's going to care. Why bother? I was putting all that stuff off and I was doing like meaningless crap, making posts that nobody cared about, because I didn't want to get my hands dirty and do that one thing that would really move the needle for me, even though I knew it would. I'd seen people do it and I knew it would. It wasn't until joining Matt's program and doing those things that I realized, oh my gosh, I've just been procrastinating all of this. And it's so much easier than I thought it would be. None of the awful, terrible things that I thought were going to happen are happening. I wonder if I can help people with this. So I made a post about procrastination. I was like, let's see, I've never done it before. And it blew up. And
nice. That's
when I started having people reach out to me and be like, how do you like, are you inside my head? Like, how do you know? Describe me to a T. Oh my God, I do that. I was like, wow, I can like, this is a problem that I can really help people with, because I'm known amongst my friends for having a really high speed of implementation. And I generally don't procrastinate. That's the thing I notice is a lot of the procrastinators I work with are actually really high performing people. Mm-hmm. Like they own a business or they're a team leader. And like at face, it seems like they've got it all together, but you don't see them staying up all night the night before the deadline to do the thing. Or like maybe their business is good, but their health is terrible because they put all that on the back burner because they're too busy helping everyone else, which is another form of procrastination. Because it's uncomfortable to like do something for yourself. What? That's way too selfish. I could never do that.
I could get on a soapbox about that.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I've had quite a few mothers come through my coaching. It's that exact thing. I've been serving everyone and now it's like empty nest. What do I do with myself?
Yeah.
So yeah. Like that was then like the journey into realizing that procrastination coaching was something that I was like uniquely suited to help people with because I feel like I have a lot of awareness of my own procrastination. And I'm really good at getting people to jump off the cliff, so to speak, because I'm jumping with them the whole time. That's been my journey. And it's been a blast and it's still going.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, shout out to Dr. Matt Shiver. We will put a link to his program in the notes in case you guys are interested. But on that same topic, where can people find you? What's the best way to reach out to you?
Best way is on Instagram. My handle is BenJoyWalker, all one word. And yeah, if you want to make confident decisions, you're tired of putting off the most important thing and not reaching your potential, hit me up because I would love to help you reach it.
Awesome. Thank you, Ben, so much. Now, I always ask this question at the end. What's the one piece, and it doesn't have to relate to what you do now, and it can be personal or professional, but what's the one piece of advice that you would give your 18-year-old self, knowing what you know now?
You can't be careful on a skateboard.
There you go. Words of wisdom from Ben Walker. Thanks so much, Ben. I really appreciate it. There's so much, I said so many good nuggets in that. Go back and re-listen to it and check out Ben on his Instagram. We'll put all the links in the show notes. And yeah, thank you again. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. This was a lot of fun.